Christopher Pyne is the manager of opposition business in the House. He joins us now, Parliament House studio. Christopher, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
250 bills passed by the Parliament this year. Doesn't that suggest and in fact prove that minority government is working perfectly well?
Well, Fran, of the 250 bills, the Coalition said yes to 87% of them. So, in fact, we only opposed 13%.
So the Parliament's working?
So, well, no, what it points to is the fact that most of those 250 bills were uncontroversial. It doesn't mean the Parliament's working. It means that the claim that that Labor has somehow got 250 bills through in a tooth and claw fight is simply rhetoric from Anthony Albanese.
No, but what about the point that the opposition was making at the beginning of this government, that it would be a debacle, it would be gridlock in the Parliament? It's not gridlock, the Parliament is functioning.
Well, it is a debacle. The Parliament resembles something like Dr. Moreau's Island. What we saw this week was another week of secret deals, special arrangements, legislation drafted and pushed through in the dead of the night, secret deals with Andrew Wilkie or Tony Windsor and Robert Oakeshott and Bob Brown, the Greens calling the shots. Now, legislation might finally get through, but at what cost? And the cost to the Australian taxpayer is hundreds of millions of dollars of feather bedding and largesse to special interests and vested interests in particular seats, while the average Australian misses out again and again and again.
As Anthony Albanese pointed out, though, there's always been deals done to get legislation through. It's just usually in the Senate. I mean, the Howard government spent many hundreds of millions of dollars, I would suggest, trying to get their legislation through with the assistance of Brian Harradine in Tasmania, Mal Colston. You know, this is not new.
But, Fran, I mean, let's look at the government's record this year. There's been more boats arrive in the last 3 days carrying more people than arrived in the last 6 years of the Howard government.
Mm.
I wouldn't say that the government's border protection policies were exactly working. Now,
I don't think they would either.
No, and their response to the government's spending addiction and the fact that they have a budget problem has been to introduce two new great big taxes, two arrows through the chest of the Australian taxpayer, which still lead to a $10 billion deficit. Now, Anthony Albanese and the Labor Party can make all the... They can interrupt you as often as they like, sort of claiming that everything's brilliant and marvellous and he has his silly lines like the no-alition. I mean, I could call the Labor Party the LIBOR Party. The truth is, that kind of rhetoric doesn't mask the fact that in the last 3 days, more people have arrived on boats than arrived in 6 years under the Howard government. They've introduced taxes that are levying $35 billion and are spending $45 billion because of those taxes. We have now got $107 billion of net debt and a budget deficit of $54 billion. It's hardly been a successful year, and that's why business says, and state premiers are saying, that one of the biggest problems in Australia at the moment is the lack of confidence in the economy because of this government.
Waging new taxes is not necessarily a negative, isn't it? And these taxes aren't across the whole community. They're not taxes that everybody will pay, in a sense. They're on specific areas of business, in the same way the opposition would put an impost on business, for instance, to pay for some of your policies.
But, Fran, if the only achievement the government can point to is the introduction of new taxes, I don't think the Australian public are going to be popping the champagne corks and firing the confetti cannons at election time if all the Labor Party's got to show for their term in office is great big new taxes.
Are you saying, though, that the changes that forced on the government, and we were discussing those with Anthony Albanese there, by the crossbenchers, that those changes aren't any good? I would have thought you would have supported the sort of change that Tony Windsor forced on the government in the mining bill in terms of more environmental protection and oversight of coal seam gas exploration.
Fran, the mining tax is a complete shambles. They've had five separate mining tax deals. Yesterday, the Treasurer said that it would stand the test of time. It didn't last from midnight to dawn. The government has changed the mining tax so often. They have so many different estimates and forecasts. Nobody, quite frankly, knows how much the mining tax will collect. At one stage, the government was saying it was going to collect $11 billion. Then forecasts were that it might be closer to $22 billion. Now the state governments in New South Wales and Western Australia are levying $3 billion of royalties, so they've lost that money. It's down to $8 billion. And yet they've got $14 billion of spending associated with the mining tax. I mean, only the Labor Party could introduce two new taxes and end up with a bigger deficit than they had before.
The Gillard government has now been in for a year and a bit, and at the beginning of this process, Tony Abbott's aim was to try and wrest government during this term. That was the stated aim. That hasn't worked at this point. Is it time to change tactics? The opposition has really sort of been approaching this year like a never-ending election campaign. Can you maintain that momentum into a second year?
Well, Fran, 2 years ago, the Labor Party were 14 points ahead of the coalition on a two-party preferred basis. They're now 14 points behind. A year ago, the Prime Minister was 20 points in the positive territory. She's now minus 21. If the Labor Party thinks this has been a sensational year, let's hope they have another one like it next year. Because if they do, they will be annihilated at an election. So let's not listen to any of this nonsense and rhetoric about what a fantastic year the government's supposed to have had. The Labor Party has introduced a new tax based on a lie, a mining tax which you can't trust the figures that the government is talking about. Next week they're having a mini-crisis budget, a crisis mini-budget because of the unravelling budget situation. I mean, honestly, for the Labor Party and for anybody who's barracking for the Labor Party, to suggest that this has been a good end to the year is stupefying for the Australian public.
Christopher Pyne, thank you very much for joining us on Breakfast.
It's always a pleasure. Thanks, Fran.
Christopher Pyne is the manager of opposition business in the House.